Okay, who is absent? Ruth and Claudette, Harold, Tristan, and then Sony. What did I say? 1:15? I said 1, but later on I said 1:15. Any questions so far? What's the most important thing you learned this morning? Under the assumption that you learned anything this morning. Yes? Anna?
I would say that in loving others in their terms.
In their terms? Yeah. Very good. Eye-opener, no? Anyone else? The most important thing you learned this morning. Okay, all right. Okay. Hindi ganun, ha? Hindi ganun. Okay, yeah? Seeing the other's perspective. Joshua. Okay, you sound like you have an agenda for other people to pay your lunch. No. Yeah, never eat alone. You have more time than you think. Madam.
For me, on top of structure, caring for people is the most important.
Yep. Caring for people, we will talk about that in the last portion. There's a structure of caring. It results in a culture. We'll talk about culture later. Anyone else? Anything else? Yes. Jenny. Absolutely. Yes. Yes. And you would rather be a person of influence. Andali sabihin no, pero ang hirap gawin. Because I've been a boss for many years, and it's kind of convenient to be a person of authority. And when you say something, people jump. But then you realize, when the going gets rough, who will still be around? Or when you're not around, will people take the initiative? That's when influence factors in. Anyone else? Anything else? Most important thing you learned this morning? Yes, Rich. Indifference being the greatest disease of all. Sometimes the busyness of ministry. You know the problem with us ministry folk? We believe what we do is so godly that nothing should bother me. When I used to prepare for messages to preach on a Sunday, and all week I've been working, and the only time I have to prepare is Saturday night, because Saturday morning I crash to catch up on my sleep. So I tell my wife, it's my turn to preach tomorrow. Please don't bother me. And so, but of course you get bothered. And the kids walk in and out of the room where you're working. And often I would say something like, will you please stop bothering me? Can't you see Dad is doing something important and godly? So I realized, you know, if I were my kid, I would look up and say, I don't like that religion. It doesn't like children. And you see, I caught it too late, but not late enough. Like I said, I'm catching up on my relationship with my children. But I want you to understand that we in the ministry, we who do this godly work, the thin line between what we do and being self-righteous is very thin. It's very easy to cross into self-righteousness. Now, don't bother me with your problems. I'm doing something important for God, you know. So don't bother me. So, and as a result, we become indifferent without meaning to. See? Kasi sinasabi natin, I'm going to be indifferent to your needs because I'm doing something important. This is for God. Of course, God is in heaven and just, come on, kid. I mean, you know, my business is people, and that person who needs your attention It's part of the business. Drop what you're doing and pay attention to, relationships, people that God brings to us. It's not accidental, you see, because we probably have a solution to their concerns. So it's not accidental. So we need to open up our eyes and open up our minds and our hearts to the situations that God is causing in our midst so that we can relate to people better and we can manage our people better. Okay, four ways to become a five-star people manager. Number one, what's number one? Make sure five and processes are in place. Okay. Is mission structural?
Yes.
Is vision, what is it? Is it structural? Yes. Job descriptions? Yes. Performance appraisal? No. That's a process. Okay, that's a process. Okay. Career path, structure or process? Structure. Structure is and is not. Process is how. Okay. So four structures, one process. Okay. So, but these are without these structures, you're beginning to see that you cannot possibly be a good people manager. I had lunch with Pastor Carlos, and we were talking about the seminar because he's been through this. And he said, you know, it's funny, talk about job descriptions. When I first went out of the campus ministry to become the assistant of Pastor Joey, I had no job description because he had no job description. Because Pastor Steve didn't know what we were supposed to do. He just said, just do it. Do what? Well, do whatever you think should be done. So Pastor Joey didn't have a job description, and I was his assistant. I didn't have a job description. And it was just that the work was so big and so immediate. There were so many immediate things to do that we never lacked for anything to do. But when you have a church this size, an organization this big, if you don't organize, it'll be chaotic. Okay, it'll be chaotic. Okay, so number one, five structures and processes are in place. Number two, what's number two? Become a person of? Not just one of? Okay. Number three is mentor, coach, then empower your people. Mentor, coach, then empower your people. We're on page 9 of your workbook. Okay? Page 9 of your workbook. Two questions on this section. Do you mentor your people? Number two, is someone mentoring you? Mentoring is not very different from discipleship. Okay? So, the question when we talk about mentoring, coaching, then empowering your people, the first question is, do you mentor your people? If not, you should. But more importantly, and I want to start here, is anyone mentoring you? How many of you are being mentored? Okay, now are you taking mentoring as discipleship? So someone is discipling you? Is that what you're saying? Or someone is really mentoring you? Okay, how many have people mentoring them professionally? Not on the spiritual side. Okay? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, good. How many of you want to have a five-star mentor? I mean, yeah, I'm glad. If you are to become a five-star people manager, you need a five-star mentor, okay? Do you want to get a five-star mentor? I will first tell you the importance of mentoring. As a professional, in my experience, two people come up to mind very clearly. One is a guy named Paul Burry. He is a Canadian, English-Canadian, okay? Big guy. And he was my mentor in Pepsi-Cola. In Pepsi, I was a brand manager in the marketing department. I was a brand manager for Pepsi And Pepsi, the Pepsi brand was 80% of the business. And believe it or not, that this is, I'm talking the 1970s. Okay, some of you were not born yet. In those ancient days, Pepsi was the market leader. Coke was a weak number two. Okay, so I joined Pepsi during its heyday. Okay, Paul Burry told me, Alex, you came from Procter & Gamble, you know marketing, you're now in marketing in Pepsi-Cola, but if all you know is marketing, you will not get ahead in the company. I said, Paul, in that case, I'm not ever going to get ahead in the company because all I know is marketing. Well, you need to learn operations. Well, I don't know operations. Well, that's why I'm talking to you. I said, what do you mean? Oh, we want you to run a bottling plant. I said, Paul, I'm 26 years old. I'm not an engineer. I don't have an MBA. I don't know how to run a bottling plant. That's why we're going to send you to a bottling plant. So you learn how to run a bottling plant. Okay, is there going to be a teacher? No. In fact, you will be the general manager of that bottling plant. I said, you're kidding, right? No, I'm not kidding. So there is Pepsi-Cola Bottling Company in Tanawan, Leyte, not Batangas. Okay? Tanawan, Leyte. And there were 300 people there. Bottling plant operation, salespeople, accounting, fleet maintenance, HR. We had three labor unions. And I was the general manager. I was 26 years old. Probably the youngest person in the bottling plant, and I was the boss. And so I went to my wife that night and I said, sweetheart, I have good news. I didn't say and bad news. Good news lang. I have good news. Na-promote ako eh. Ano nangyari sa'yo? Gagawin akong general manager ng bottling plant. Oh, really? Yeah. In fact, swerte natin eh. I lied. We were given a choice. Butuan or Leyte? I grabbed Leyte. Wait a minute. What do you mean you grabbed Leyte? Well, you know Leyte? Tacloban? The plant is in Tanawan, you know, it's just 45 minutes. Wait a minute, what are you saying? Well, my wife was born and raised in Manila. We had two small children. 2 and 1/2. Okay? 2 babies. I said, we're actually gonna live in Tacloban. Anybody from Tacloban here? She said, no way. I said, sweetheart, it's a career call. They're trying to develop me into a general manager. And she said, wala ka naman alam dun, eh, kanya nga eh. Make a long story short, by the grace of God, I wasn't a Christian yet then, okay? She agreed. So we landed in, I went to Tacloban first to look for a house, and that was 1978. Tacloban today, I don't think it's a big real estate development. But in 1978, forget it. So the house that was being vacated by the plant general manager I was replacing, sabi niya, Alex, dito na lang kayo. And then, of course, I grabbed it. It was nice, it was big, and the company would pay for the rent, etc. So I took it. There's only one thing wrong with it. It was right beside the provincial jail. So when I was describing it to my wife, sabi niya, oh, but sa lahat naman ng bahay na kinuha mo, but yung sa tabi ng provincial jail, sabi ko, wala namang ibang option. Eh. Besides, my logic, sabi ko, if there's a jailbreak, I don't think the prisoner would like to stay near the jail. He's going to go as far as possible. So I think this is the last place they will. Make a long story short, so we landed in Tacloban. I walk into my big office. Offices in those days were real offices. I mean, there was a wall, there was a door. I mean, my office is about the size of this thing here, from that door up to here. Up to here, yeah. Okay? There's a big desk. I sat down, I'm 26 years old, okay? I look at the ceiling and I said, Lord, what do I do now? Okay? The mayor came in looking for the general manager. He came to my office. I was seated at the GM's desk. Sabi niya, I want to talk to the general manager. And I almost apologized to him. Parang, I'm sorry, ako po yun. Anyway, 10 months, I took Tanawan Lady plant from number 10 of 11 plants in terms of sales performance to number one. Okay. I learned about bottling. It's the simplest thing on earth. Sugared syrup, water, carbonation, pop, finished. Not very complicated. Okay. I learned how to deal with people. I was dealing with labor unions at the age of 26. You know, I look back, after 10 months, they pulled us out of Tanawan Leyte. They promoted me to become plant general manager of the second biggest plant at the age of 27 in Muntinlupa. Okay? Where it is now is not the original location. It was moved. But I became plant general manager of Muntinlupa plant. And my wife was ecstatic because we were able to come home back to Manila. And we stayed there for about, in the Muntinlupa plant, about a year and 3 months. Those 2 years of my life changed me completely. As an executive, as a person, as a people person, as a general manager, I grew up. I mean, I'd never had an MBA. I always wished I had an MBA, but that was my MBA. When I went into Tacloban Leyte, I kind of hated my boss for inflicting this boondocks on me. But 2 years later, I never would have exchanged that experience for anything. Okay? Because after 3 months after I returned from, 3 months after Muntinlupa plant, I was promoted to become marketing manager of the company. 3 months later, I quit because a former Pepsi executive gave my name to Warner Lambert, and they were looking for a vice president for the consumer products division. I walked into the interview. I was being interviewed by the regional president, and he asked me, "Alex, what does a plant general manager do?" So I began to tell him what a plant general manager does. 5 minutes, I kid you not, 5 minutes later, he said, "Stop. That's it. You're my man." Hired me. I became vice president, consumer product division, with the profit and loss responsibility, et cetera, et cetera. I was 29 years old. Okay. From there, 2.5 years later, somebody from Pepsi again went to Del Monte in San Francisco. And when he visited the Philippines, they were looking for a marketing director. And so they got my name, and I was hired into Del Monte. And from there, you know, I became president. Years later, okay? Now, what's my point? My point is this. If I look at the graduating class in Ateneo in 1970, about 1,000 people, I was probably number 201. I mean, hindi naman sama, pero hindi naman ako top student type. When I look at people ahead of me, I'm surprised how I've accomplished a lot more. Of course, some of the people accomplish a lot more than me, but I'm surprised. I think I punched above my weight level, my weight class. Why? Because of mentoring. When I look back, the difference was mentoring. Somebody took the trouble to sit me down and said, "I'm going to make you successful." In fact, that's what Paul Berry told me. "I'm going to make you succeed as a plant general manager." He said, "Alex, if I have to drag you to the finish line, I will do it." He threatened me with success. Sabi, "You can do it. Kumbaga, you better do it. Otherwise, since I was the one who recommended it, I'm going to look bad." Okay? So, tell you that story to talk to you about the importance of having a mentor. And God blessed me with wonderful mentors in my career. It had a huge impact on my career development. But God has used a particular person to work on my character. Paul Berry and company worked on my managerial competence. But God used my wife to work on my character. So if I were to describe to you my mentors, they are a composite of professional mentors and my wife. You should meet my wife. She's a very strong woman, a very principled woman, and a wonderful person. But I learned from her integrity, humility, and lately servanthood, CEO. So you need a 5-star mentor. Do you know how to get a 5-star mentor? Let me tell you a story. I have 3 sons. The second boy, his name is Paolo. He went to the U.S. to get an MBA in Fordham, okay, in Manhattan, New York. After 2 years, he graduates. He can't find a job because that's 2 years after 9/11. I mean, hinatid namin siya doon September 6. Pag-uwi namin dito, September 11, binomba yung Twin Towers. So can you imagine how terrified we were? 2 years later, he graduates, he can't find a job. So he writes me, sabi niya, Dad, I can't find a job. I said, fine. Yung visa mo, student visa lang, uwi ka na rito. Miss ka na namin. Well, sabi niya, that's the whole point. I wanted to ask you, pwede mo humirit? Sabi ko, what do you mean? Pwede bang, can you support me one more year? To do what? To get another master's degree. Kakagraduate mo lang ng MBA? What master's degree are you talking about? Oh, I want to take a master's in taxation. Sabi ko, what for? Well, sabi niya, I want to go to Ernst & Young. Ernst & Young is the SGV of the U.S. And it's in Manhattan. And I figure, sabi niya, okay, I'm not an American, but if I've got an MBA plus MS taxation, I probably will get a job there. You know, I mean, sometimes I feel my children's goals in life is to make me poor. So, pero anak mo yun eh. So, and sabi niya sa akin, and then don't worry, Dad, I got a discount because of my good grades. I have a discount on my tuition. Tsaka 1 year lang ito. And sabi niya, and this one, I'll pay you back. Yeah, right. These kids are going to pay us back, right? It's been 8 years. I haven't seen one peso come back. But anyway, so, okay, he goes back. He's in MS taxation. He opens his book and can't understand some concepts. I mean, he's a good student, 3.9 QPI. I mean, 4.0 is straight A. So 3.9 is B, plus, 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 whatever. Meron hindi maintindihan. So he does a crazy thing. He Googles the author. Dear sir, my name is Paolo Castillo. I'm a graduate student of MS Taxation in Fordham University here in Manhattan. We are using your book as our textbook. Would you mind very much to have lunch with me? I will pay for it. I need a mentor. I will email to you my questions so that just 1 hour, you walk into that restaurant and you walk out in an hour. I will email my questions to you. I just need your help. Will you mentor me? So I asked my son, what did he say? He said, Dad, I was so surprised. He said, yes. Eh, anong ginawa mo? Binasa ko talaga yung libro over the weekend, but I needed to sound halfway intelligent. I mean, not only did he showed up, he paid for the lunch. And my son asked me, why do you think he did that? Hindi ko naman siya kilala. So I explained to him the self-affirmation box. Sabi ko, do you guys know J.K. Rowling? Yeah. I mean, how much fan mail do you think she gets? In one sequel, 300,000 emails. Okay? Now, you are the taxation textbook author. How much fan mail do you think you get? You open your self-affirmation box every morning, hoping someone will discover you. As usual, wala. Sino masusulat sa taxation? Baka kinasusuklaman ka dahil ang hirap-hirap ng topic mo. Until he saw Paolo's email. Sabi niya, I knew it. I'm valuable. I am somebody on earth. So I explained to my son, self-affirmation box. You became the founder, president, and low member of his fans club. So, they have lunch, and they have a wonderful lunch. And at the lunch, my son pitches him. He said, sir, would you mind very much if now and then I email you, if I have questions, Paolo, chairman, founder, loan member of my family. Of course, okay? They get into an internet mentoring relationship, okay? Towards the end of that year, Paolo tells me, whether it's another lunch or through phone, I don't know, he asks him one more question. So, would you mind very much, sir, if I put your name as part of my referrals in my resume? I'm finishing up my course. I'm doing very well. Would you mind very much if I use you as one of my referrals? Of course. Founder, chairman, don't know. He shoots it to Ernst & Young. Paolo's grades in MBA's 3.9 QPI, MS taxation 3.9 din. You know, missed it again, poor kid. Anyway, he does his resume, gives it to Ernst & Young. 2,000 applicants. Two people are accepted. By the way, if my son is 3.9, there are straight A students in Columbia, Stanford, Harvard, Yale, you name it. Two people are accepted. One is a straight A student from Harvard. Another one is a 3.9 QPI from Fordham. His name, Paolo Castillo. Now explain that to me. My son was so surprised that when they told him he was accepted, he said, why? They said, what do you mean, why? He said, I mean, how did I make it? You know what they told him? You made it because of your integrity. He said, you gotta be kidding, you hardly know me. Oh, well, we know you. What apparently they did is they got that resume and they checked on every detail on the resume. And this one I'm speculating. I'm imagining they called up the taxation textbook author. They probably said, who does this Filipino kid think he's kidding? I mean, so when the author picked up the phone, I don't know what he said. He must have said, oh, Paolo? Because, yeah, he's my man. We're tight, baby. We're tight. I don't know what he said. But can you imagine? Paolo got the job. And I was just floored. So back to the seminar. Do you want a 5-star mentor?
Yes.
Well, go get one. I was doing a seminar with a telecoms company, young people like you. Exactly at this point, I told them, go get one. Sabi sa akin, eh sir, siguro sa New York lang nangyayari yan. At coffee break, I told them, there was a guy who attended an earlier seminar. And he took me aside during coffee break and he told me, I have a 5-star mentor in mind. And he gave me the name. And I told him, are you crazy? Eh, kasi vision, kinuwento ko rin yung are you crazy dun sa vision. Sabi niya, sir, totally. Sabi ko, go for it. Okay? A week after the seminar, he emailed me thanking me for the seminar, blah, blah, blah. And he said, in the cafeteria, we had a reunion. Our batch had a reunion and we had fun reminiscing, etc. Sabi ko, what about your 5-star mentor? Sabi niya, yes, I will issue my letter to him sometime. So after a month, he comes back to me. Sabi niya, I wrote the letter. I sent it. In fact, I got response from the secretary. I have an appointment. Sabi niya, what do I do now? I sabi ko, do what I told you. First of all, be on time. Second of all, prepare your questions. Third of all, you better make sure you look like a human being when you go there. I mean, cut your nails, brush your teeth and your shoes, not with the same brush. So a month later, he gives me a blow-by-blow of that meeting. This guy is the CEO of a multi-billion peso company. And the secretary walked him in, and then the man said, okay, tell me about yourself. Because I told him CEOs have a huge self-affirmation box. And every morning they look at that and say, why don't I have any fan mail? Until your email came. And he said, sabi ko na, magaling ako eh. So he was very happy to share. Kasi tinanong niya, how, what is your advice for me to be as successful as you? So the guy talked to me. You know what he told him? Be humble. Work hard. And then he had a follow-up appointment. Etc., etc. So what's my point? Not in Manhattan only. Okay. If you want a 5-star mentor, here are the steps. Number one. In what area do I want to be mentored? Is it people management? Is it financial management? Is it entrepreneurship? Is it... In what area do I want to be mentored? In Paolo's case, my son, it was in taxation. In what area do I want to be mentored? Number two, who is the Michael Jordan, Manny Pacquiao, Tiger Woods, what have you, in this area? Who's the best in this area? Number three, write the guy or the girl. Dear ma'am, dear sir, you don't know me, but I know you. Would you mind very much if you mentored me? By the way, a mentoring relationship is once a quarter, 1 hour every 3 months. Sabi mo sa kanya, can I meet with you 1 hour every 3 months? At your convenience, I will adjust to your schedule. I look up to you. I believe in you so much. Will you mentor me? Yeah? What's the worst that can happen? They say no. Do you want to go next? What did you lose? But what if they say yes? Di may mentor ka na. So, take my son's example. To be honest with you, bumili ba ako sa anak ko eh? Ginugol ba naman yung author? Out of the blue. Talagang hindi niya kilala. Out of the blue. And up to now, they're friends. So, before you mentor, I want you to get a mentor. Because, so ang umpisa dito sa mentoring, get a mentor. Hindi ka tatagal eh. Get a mentor. You need a 5-star mentor. And it's not a once-a-week meeting. It's 1 hour every 3 months. Okay? Kanya dapat organized ka. Now, by the way, if you want a 5-star mentor, pagdating mo naman doon sa 5-star mentor, kung pumayag siya mag-meeting kayo, i-prove naman that you are a 5-star mentee. Na huwag kang malate, mukha ka namang listo't lista na handa ka naman mag-commit sa kanya. Kasi gusto ng mentor, may kinabukasan tong batan to. Para naman, pag tinuruan kita, you know, ganun. Okay? So, now, let's go to mentoring people. The mentoring imperative. If you don't spend time to mentor people, your team will not develop the capacity to achieve breakthrough goals. Okay, as a leader manager, you will fall into the gap trap. Mentoring is tough and could get messy. And the reason why people don't want to mentor people is mentoring is very difficult. How many of you have seen a one-year-old child try to feed himself or herself? Mothers, have you seen, do you know what it looks like? Yeah, what does it look like? It's a mess, yeah. I mean, one-year-olds don't only eat their food, they wear their food. Here, 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 you know. So, what does the mother do? How does the mother teach the one-year-old how to eat? Shows him how. But allows the mess, correct? Correct? Hindi yung, ang dungis-dungis, ako na nga lang, you know. So, tuturuan kita, pero I will continue to let you do it. So that you learn how to feed yourself. Now, listen carefully. That's very basic. Mentoring is messy because you will embrace imperfection. Okay? You will, sige, asan, hindi ba, maraming kwento si Pastor Steve dyan eh, na sintunado yung worship leader. Hindi ba, you know, expose him. Yung preacher, hindi pa sana, hindi ba, you know, let the congregation fall asleep. Otherwise, they'll never learn how to preach. I mean, the first time I preach, you know, some people said, you should have been a mother. You could put people to sleep very well. If the mother does not allow the mess, the picture could be, you're a mother, your son is 35 years old, you're bringing his lunch to his office, and then you're feeding him, and you say, Mrs., Ganyan yung pinapakain anak niyo. 35 years old na. That's a grotesque example, but that's exactly what happens if you don't allow the mess. Okay? So, there is a mentoring imperative. Many manager leaders don't mentor because they refuse to suffer the mess of an imperfectly done job at the expense of their people's development. Imagine Pepsi-Cola assigning me, a 26-year-old, to become general manager of a bottling plant in Tanawan Leyte. What if it burned down? Of course, may fire extinguisher. So, I mean, they have defined the risks. And to their surprise, and to my surprise, we became number one. I told the people, Tanawan, number one. You know, we were made to be number one because number one rhymes the best with the name Tanawan, number one. You get it? So, people were waiting to be led. If you don't mentor your people, let me repeat, your people will not grow and be able to achieve breakthrough goals. As a leader manager, you will fall into what I call the gap trap. What is the gap trap? It goes like this. On the vertical axis are goals. Horizontal axis is time. I have a 3-year time frame. Okay? The solid line is the competency level of the team. It is flat because this is an example of a manager who does not mentor. So, wala siyang learning curve. Flat yung curve niya. The bars there are goals. So, year one goal is higher than the competency level of the team. Hindi nga nagme-mentor yung bossing nila. So, may gap. Here is the competency level. That is the goal for the year. Who fills the gap? What's the answer? Of course. You are accountable for the result. So, you, the leader, will fill the gap between what the goal requires and what the competency level of your team can deliver. Good. So, your boss tells you, you know, Lou, I knew I could depend on you. So, you met the goal. Hindi ka nagme-mentor. Example lang, ha? Pero kaya mo, eh. Second year, the goal is higher. Who fills the gap? Siyempre, the leader pa rin. Now, two things are happening. Number one, you're enjoying your Messiah posture, your Messiah position. Swerte nyo, ako boss nyo. Kung hindi, walang pag-asa itong team na to. Worse, your people are enjoying their dependency on you as the Messiah. Buti lang matinik yung boss namin. Kasi kung hindi, patay kami lahat eh. Alright? Now your boss tells you, wow, I knew you could do it. So here's year three goal. It's even higher than the company. The gap is even bigger. Okay? I wonder, when in my corporate life, how come the goal always had to be higher than the prior year? Hindi pwede magbakasyon, ibabaya natin ng konti. Hindi pwede. So, who will fill the gap? Who? Maybe the leader. Or maybe his or her replacement. Because by now, you've burnt out. Your marriage is in tatters. Your children don't know you anymore. Mommy, sino yan? You know, because you don't come home. You would have hit the wall. You have fallen into the gap trap. If you try to do things yourself, and you don't want to go through the mess of mentoring people, there will come a time, siguro early in the game, kaya mo pa, there will come a time you will hit the wall. And literally, the whole team stops to function. Okay? And that's what happens to many people who refuse to mentor their team. A guy tried to do it, and he burnt out. He wanted to make up with his wife, so he took her out to dinner. And this is what happens.
Jing, you know, she may come here. She may come here and have her own song call. The girl got on guard.
You can drink a gallon of that tea, it's not going to help. You know, when you're burnt out, you're burnt out. Okay. Mentoring principles. You are the model. You are the model. If you do not continue to develop and grow, your example will affect those below you. Your people will do what they see you do. You can't really teach what is right unless you do what is right. Okay? You can't model what you don't do. You cannot impart what you don't have. When our children were small, we wanted them to learn how to play the piano. And so when the first batch of kids were small, we said, piano lessons, fine, no problem. So Mark and Paolo, they can play the piano. Paolo can play the guitar, saxophone. My MBA kid is also a musician. Okay, yung gupit niya, yung razor cut na parang rocker. Rocker na Abu Sayyaf ang dating. But Jody and Stephanie, the two younger kids, 9 years later, okay, same wife, by the way. When we said, piano school, oh, ayaw nila, sabi ko, sige, Jollibee. After piano. Okay, good. After 2 weeks, the Jollibee incentive began to wane. And they went to their mother. And they said, Ma, how come Papa wants us to play the piano, but he naman does not want to play the piano? Now, my wife, in her typical support of me, I expected her to say something like this. Your dad works all week. On Saturdays, he wants to play golf. So I want you to leave your father alone and go to the piano school. Instead, she looked at me and she said, oh, nga naman. Now, tell me, two small children connive with their mother against the father. Who wins? What do you think? I mean, there's no way. So what happens? I'm in my shorts, in my golf shirt. I have my piano piece under my arm. Jody has his piano piece under his arm. And Stephanie has her piano piece under her arm, and we are marching to the Alabang Town Center Piano School, Yamaha Piano School. I have a cubicle, Jody has a cubicle, Stephanie has a cubicle. This is modeling. See? You cannot impart what you don't have. So I begin to terrorize my teacher. She is 19 years old. I said, wag mo naman akong pahirapan, sinasamahan ko lang yung dalawa. So we begin. Old MacDonald, head of farm. You know, for a year and a half, I dutifully went. I modeled going to piano school. Okay? If you ask me to play the piano now, ano ka, siniswerte. I didn't learn anything because wala yung puso mo eh. Okay? I regret it, actually. But Jody and Steph, they can play the piano. Well, at least they saw the model. So the impact of modeling, okay? If you're a mentor, you are a model. The children of alcoholics hate their fathers who are alcoholics or mothers who are alcoholics. But listen carefully. Apart from divine intervention, 80% become alcoholics because of the power of modeling. Are you with me? Okay? There's a saying, values are caught, not taught. Values are not taught, they are caught. You don't have to worry what to teach your children. They will do as you do. Okay? They will do as you do. Teach your children well, and when necessary, use words. Teach your children well, and when necessary, use words. Because it is your behavior that will impact these people. The modeling principle. List down what you do that you want your people to do also, and list down what you do that you don't want your people to do. Okay? Will you do that? I'll give you a couple of minutes. Ready? Go. Your people could be replaced with your volunteers or people you work with. Okay, you can continue that at home. What it is an exercise to make you aware of what you do that you don't want other people to do. It will force you to be aware of your behavior that is negative so that you stop doing it. Okay? And you could replace that with, if you have children, what do you do that you want your children to do also? And what do you do that you don't want your children to do also? And the way to process is you must stop doing those things that you don't want your children to also do, or you don't want your people to also do. Because unless you change, the impact of your model will be very powerful. Are you with me? Okay, let's proceed. Let's talk about training, coaching and training. There's a four-step training cycle. I picked this up from Procter & Gamble. I do it, you observe me. The presumption there is the trainer knows the job. You cannot train what you don't know, okay? You cannot impart what you don't know. Number two, you do it. I observe you. When I was at Procter & Gamble, itong problema sa mentos eh, kakadikit-dikit. Let me get rid of it, okay? I was in marketing. They said, Alex, you have to go to sales training. I went to sales training. I didn't know anything about sales. My trainer told me, okay, Alex, we have 15 calls to make. I will make the first three calls. You watch me. You know, I'll do it. You watch me. Expert siya. So he made the call. Greet the owner. From afar, look at the store, case the store. Enter the store, greet the dealer. Meron steps. So I was watching. When we go back to the truck, he tells me, oh, nakita mo? Yes, sir. May natutunan ka? Opo. Kaya mo na? Hindi pa po. Oh, sige, two more calls. Ako pa rin. Sige, I do it. You observe me. Yun, step number one. He does it three times. I observe. Then he says, okay, fourth call, you do it. Ninenerbis ako. But listen carefully. So I do it. And I apparently make a mess of it. I make a travesty of the Procter & Gamble sales call procedure. I know this one thing. My boss, his name is... I don't want to mention his family name. Let's call him Ray. He does not say anything. Until we come back to the truck, in private, he basically tells me what I did wrong and what I did right. But what impressed me was he suffered the mess. Okay? Hindi siya nag-intervene. And I never forgot that lesson to this day. So, next call. Kasi three sa kanya, three sa akin. Ako na naman ulit. Okay? He does not intervene. At back sa... Sana, you do it, I observe you, and trainer gives feedback. He gives me feedback back in the truck. So, nag-i-improve ka na, pero dito ko pa kulang. Ang unang comment niya sa akin, Alex, para ka naman di sales, para kang pahinante. Ang napaka-timid mo, sabi, ganun-ganun ka. Para kang, you're bringing business to these people. So, you know, perk up. Third call, it's almost a home run. Okay? And so, he tells me, we're in Lucena, by the way. We're in Lucena. My sleep points were Lucena and Gumaca, Quezon. Okay? And so, he tells me, all right, I think you can do it. Babalik na ako sa Manila. You finish the 9 more calls. That's step 3. You do it on your own. I empower you. Trainer delegates. Okay? This is very basic in training. Okay? And so, when he said he was going home, hindi na ako ninervyos. In fact, I was kind of happy. And I did it on my own. I finished. And I graduated from my sales training after 3 months. And finally, you do it. Someone else is observing you. The trainee has become a trainer. Okay? When the salesman to replace me came, I was the one training him. So this is the four-step training cycle. If you want to train people, this is how you do it. Kasi sometimes, there's no training at all. A newcomer in a job says, oh, ito trabaho, bahala ka na. Think of your volunteers. Think of volunteers in church. There are gazillion volunteers in church. They need direction. They need some structure. And the person who will teach them had better know what he or she is teaching. Okay, so this is the, if you want to train people, this is the formula. Some pointers. You must provide a safe environment to the person being coached as he or she does it on her own, which I described, no? Ray did not intervene. So it was a safe environment. Hindi niya ako hiniya dun sa harap nung account. Nung kami lang dalawa sa truck, doon niya ako tinuruan. Okay? So it was safe for me to make a mistake. By the way, it was just one store. Even if I messed it up, I mean, what could the damage possibly be? So they did not put me in charge of the whole territory until they trained me. Be open about your own failures because it will encourage the person you are coaching because he or she will look at you as an authentic person. Okay? You know, if my trainer tells me, alam mo, Alex, nung ako ganyan din, hirap na hirap din ako. So, it will comfort me immediately. Okay? Makaka-relate ako sa kanya. Okay? And finally, the reason why you ought to be secure enough and open about your failures is, are you ready for this? Failure, sometimes, only failure, teaches. Okay? Success bloats you up. Success is the most dangerous experience in life. Are you with me? David fell at the peak of his success. Okay? Instead of going to war like most kings do, he made lakwacha. He went to the veranda. You know what happened? He saw a woman doing something. I mean, naliligo ba siya? Bathsheba? Kanya, yung pangalan siya, Bathsheba. Joke. Okay? See, success is the most dangerous experience in life. Enjoy your success, but be terrified by it and guard your heart. On the other hand, failure is precious. Now, don't go out and fail just to experience something precious, but I guarantee you, God is so good to us, He will cause you to fail because He wants you to learn. Because failure teaches. Okay? So, kung ikaw open ka about your failure, yung tinuturuan mo, kumbaga, gagamitin yung buhay mo as a shortcut. You know why I think adultery doesn't cut it? Kasi I have a shortcut, si Solomon. 600 wives, 400 concubines. I mean, give me a break. If he had one new woman a night, he won't see the same woman until 3.5 years later. And yet, he said, it doesn't cut it. It's vanity of vanities. So I don't have to experience that kind of adultery to know it's not going to make me happy. So your failure is your trainee's shortcut. Are you with me?